to have driven Highland while Larry's blood leaked unreported. She nodded vigorously, and the nodding morphed into a sad side-to-side shake.
I left my gradebook at school, and I thought I'd want it for later. We have that all-day faculty meeting tomorrow, you know. Now, he was just turning his grader around down there by the intersection with Hutton, and we both waved. He had to wait for me to go by.
And then you discovered what happened on the way home from that errand?
No, no.
Her response was immediate and snappy, a tone that would work with a recalcitrant eighth grader.
It was most likely around 3 o'clock. I needed to do a little shopping, and I thought, well, certainly he would have finished grading that little street by now, and of course there are any number of other ways to go into town. See, I had this nagging thought that there was just something I had forgotten at school. Anyway, there he was, parked right along the side of the bar ditch.
Her hands fussed.
I don't know why I even noticed him, Sheriff. I mean, what business is it of mine? But what did they do to him? I mean, so much blood.
She gulped a breath.
I think I looked more closely because the machine was idling. You know, it's so loud. But his head was back against the window, and I was sure he was asleep. Until I looked closer.
Her hand fluttered up to cover her mouth. It was painfully obvious what had been done to Larry Zappoli. At a glance, he looked asleep, until you saw that blood had flowed down from his left eyebrow to the hollow of his eye, and then down the fatty cleft beside his nose, across his parted lips, and then down chin and neck to mat on the front of his grubby t-shirt. His heart had stopped and blood pressure had dropped before enough blood had been pumped to form a puddle on the floor, but there was plenty spread across his enormous belly. His head rested back against the cab's rear window, jaw slack, eyes half-lidded. Having no doubt heard her share of all the old lame jokes about highway department employees slumbering on the job, I could imagine that Evie Truman might have thought Larry was catching himself an afternoon nap, all warm and toasty with the August sun streaming through the glass of the grader's cabin. A little too toasty, maybe. The center portion of the windshield was canted open from the bottom a couple of inches, with the left-hand door wide open, latched back against the cab frame. "We'll need a deposition from you, Evie. As much detail as you can remember, starting with the first time you drove by. What you did, what Larry did, who you saw."
"I'm going to have nightmares about this, Sheriff. I mean, I didn't see anyone in the area, no one at all. But if I had come along a little earlier..."
Her face started to crumple again, and I patted her substantial shoulder. "One of us will walk you through it. I can either swing by your house later this evening, or you can come down to the office at your convenience. If I'm not in the office, when you stop by, the sheriff will be, or one of the deputies." Evie took a deep, shuddering breath.
"May I bring Carl for moral support?"
Before I could answer with more than a nod, she reached out a hand and touched me on the forearm.
"Larry's family..."
"We'll be contacting them first. Marilyn Zappoli worked at Posada State Bank as a cashier, and her day was about to fall to pieces. At this point, Evie, I'd rather that you didn't talk to anyone else about the incident. Sometimes it's hard to tell in the beginning what's important and what isn't. Carl understands that." Her husband of decades had been a game and fish officer before ruining a spinal disc while unloading one of the department boats at Elephant Butte. I watched Evie retrace her steps to her Mercury and then rejoin the party. Bob Torres had worked a pair of cotton gloves over his huge hands. On down the road, just beyond Evie's car, the EMT unit had rumbled to a stop beside Deputy Mears' Bronco, effectively blocking the street. They'd sit there until we waved them in. To the east, Highland was blocked by Torres's own patrol unit, pulled crosswise in the road beside mine. An Orange County truck had stopped behind the deputy's car, and I recognized Tony Pino, the county's highway superintendent, and his foreman, Buddy Clayton. They made their way along the bar ditch, in no hurry to see what they had to see. So, I made no move to climb up on the grader. I'd already done that and seen all I needed to see. Besides, one person in that tiny cab was a crowd. But I wanted a second opinion of the scenario before I had to explain to Tony Pino how one of his best...